the dead man came out. His hands and feet were bound with strips of cloth, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. Firstly, I find it most amazing that the lectionary would appoint a passage like this for the first Sunday after Halloween. It's like you expect to see the mummy coming out. Whoa! And that's almost what you see, for it says, he comes out. And if I had seen that, there would have been a Greg-shaped hole in the wall, trying to get away. Or it's like in the modern preference for zombies, brains, Jesus. However, that being said, it makes perfect sense for the Sunday after All Hallows Eve. All Saints Day is a time to recognize that death is not the end of life. That in Jesus Christ, through the authority of Jesus, by the power of his name, and the majesty of his word, we have a life which overcomes death. The raising of Lazarus brought something new. In many respects, it was a foreshadowing of what would happen in the resurrection of Jesus, although it's not strictly the same, for Jesus' resurrection and our resurrection brings all things to newness. All things become new in our resurrection, in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When we hear the command of Jesus' voice, when we hear our Lord declare, "Come out! Come out of the death of this life. Come out of the fear that is killing you. Come out of the pain that is dragging you down. Come out of the hopelessness that leaves you destitute. Come out of the lies that twist you into untruth. Come out of the oppression of a culture that denies your humanity and the value of your life. Come out of the grave that each of us has dug for ourselves. A grave that denies the love of God, the healing of God, the presence of God, the transformation of God, the new life that we all have in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we hear the voice of our Savior, our Deliverer, our Master, our Friend, our Brother, our King, and come out of the depths of our despair, we discover that we can have new life. We can live as children of God. We don't have to face the future with fear. We don't have to live a lie, pretending that we are self-sufficient and able to make it on our own. We discover that God is right here for us, and that in our sisters and brothers in Christ, we can know the life-changing, transforming love of God. Sadly, too many of us sit in our graves. Graves that we have dug. Graves that we like. Graves that we'd rather stay in. For it's easier to rot in fear and faithlessness than to get out and face the world and walk in faith and trust in God and stand upon the riches of God's grace and hang on the very word of God. It's easier to rot in fear and faithlessness than to have faith in Jesus. Sadly, we want to keep sitting in our graves, bound up and unmoving, refusing to believe that the world can be changed, refusing to believe that God can and will work a miracle, transform a hateful, spiteful, sinful, rejecting world, and usher in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of justice, mercy, grace, and peace. Sadly, too often, we just want to hide in our deaths, hide in our tombs, hide in our graves. But that's not what saints do, my brothers and sisters. Saints commit to following Christ. Saints commit themselves to obeying the voice of the shepherd. Saints, and the word saint in Greek is the word agios. And agios means something that has been dedicated to God and placed on the altar. Like these flowers and like these candles, symbolizing the lives of the saints of God that we remembered here today on this All Saints Sunday. So also when one is dedicated to God, that one is metaphorically placed on the altar, given over to God, sanctified and consecrated, and set apart for the ministry of God. Agios is something, holy is something, saintful, saintly is something. A saint is a person who has been set apart by God, for God, in God. Now, we can all think of saintly people. We've got the saints of the Bible, many of whom we knew, quite frankly, were not all that saintly of people. We've got the saints of the Christian era, like St. Francis and St. Padre Pio and St. Mother Teresa and Pope John Paul II. Really, really, really good people. And while all these are saints of God, so also are the St. Hollies, the St. Jerry's, the St. Ron's. Huh? I can almost see Melba back there mouthing, "You didn't know Jerry very well, Greg." I knew him well enough to know that he loved God and that God loved him and that God shined his light through Jerry to others. To every person that he met, to me, even though I only knew him for a few months, God shined the light of God's love through Jerry to me. Holly, Jerry, Ron, Raymond, Ann, Hazel, Brian, Estelle, Dorothy, Kenneth, these saints of God, all of them, have been set apart by God. They were set apart by God in their baptisms. They're placed metaphorically on the altar of God in their baptisms. Oh, they didn't always act very holy. No, they didn't. But they were set apart. God said, "I want you." You know those old posters of Uncle Sam? "I want you for the United States Army." God said, "I want you for the kingdom of God," to every one of these saints. Amen. Guess what? God says that to each and every one of us. Saints are those who have been set apart by God, for God, in God. And they don't hide out in their graves. They don't stick their heads in the sands of time and pretend that nothing's happening. Saints, those set apart by God, for God, in God, both those in glory everlasting and those alive here today, are not dead, but alive in Christ Jesus. Alive here now, today, this very instant, with us, among us, in these chairs. I'm looking at them. The very saints of God. We are united with the body of Christ and are committed to living a life as a saint, proclaiming the love of God in word and in deed to all. When we were united with the body of Christ, we promised to support it through our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. Guess what? That doesn't end when one is promoted up to glory. We as saints here on earth, saints here on earth, you might say to me, Greg, I don't feel very saintly, and neither do you. You certainly don't look it. Whoop-de-doo. We're saints of God set apart for God's work. And saints make a commitment to serve the body of Christ through prayer, through being present in the family of God, in worship, in Bible study, in fellowshipping together, being fueled and nourished by the Word of God in study, by the Word of God in preaching, by the Word of God in prayer, by the Word of God incarnate in the elements of Holy Communion, by partaking of the Eucharist, by all the means of grace. The saints of God are called to be present in the family of God. And they make a commitment also through giving of their resources, their money, yes, and their physical resources. Through the service of their hands, their feet, their minds, their lips and their ears. By reaching out and helping others and giving a cup of water or a bag of clothes. Or teaching a language or a skill. We participate in our commitment to God as the agios of God, as the saints of God, through our service and also our witness. Our witness to the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Our witness to the grace of Jesus Christ, which transforms us and cleanses us and makes us new creation. Saints. The saints I'm looking at right here in the seats in front of me, and the saints that have gone on to glory that we can only see with eyes of faith, those brothers and sisters in Christ who've gotten that wonderful promotion and now sing with the heavenly angels in glory everlasting, in a life and an existence that we cannot comprehend and nevertheless we know is true, they too participate through their prayers, their presence, their gifts, and their service, and their witness. We don't do this Christian thing alone. We have a cloud of witnesses, the communion of the saints, joining us in our commitment, praying for us when we pray, being present in the Spirit with us as we give in their memory and honor, as we serve in ways that they served, as we witness to the faith that we received from them. The communion of saints is often talked about in a spiritual way that it's kind of hard to get your hands around. In reality, it is expressing the love of God that we received from them from time immemorial. The saints going all the way back to the apostles. The saints sitting here and the saints that we will also mentor ourselves. The communion of the saints works together to spread the gospel, to be the people of God, to establish the kingdom of God, and proclaim that welcoming, loving, good news of Jesus Christ that welcomes all into the family of God. But only if we'll come out of our graves. Only if we'll come out of our tombs. Only if we'll listen and hear the voice of Jesus, our Savior, crying, "Come out!" We've got to listen. We've got to hear the voice of the shepherd. We've got to listen and hear the voice of our Savior crying, "Come out," and then get up, step out in faith, and come out of our graves, come out of our tombs, come out of our negativity, come out of our objections, and say, "Yes, we will live in faith. Yes, we will respond to God's grace." Oh, you have no idea how hard this is, how tired we are, how little we have. Pity us, pity us, pity us. Jesus says, come out of that. All things become new in Christ. That is what we are proclaiming in 2013. 2012 was the year of faith. Every year is a year of faith, my brothers and sisters. 2013 is the year of life renewal, the year of coming out from the grave and proclaiming the good news. The year of all things are new. Oh, that's frightening, Greg. Good. That means you're opening your eyes and you're facing the reality that all things must change. And that means that you're listening for the voice of the deliverer, the voice of Jesus, saying, come out. The good news is that we don't come out alone. We come out with all those agios, all those saints, the agioi who've been placed on the table of the Lord, whose lives continue to blossom, whose light continues to shine, and who join us at the marriage supper of the Lamb at the Holy Eucharist today. In this foretaste of that marriage supper, we join together with all the saints of God who ever lived, who live now, or who will ever live, in proclaiming the good news of the love of God for all without exception. So come to the table of the Lord today. Feast on the riches of His grace. Do so surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, the communion of the saints, and hear the voice of your Savior saying, come out and live your commitment to pray, be present, give, serve, and witness to Jesus Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him, earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us join in the confession of sin as found in your bulletins. And let us pray. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against You in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone, We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and a joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. God of Abraham and Sarah, God of Miriam and Moses, God of Joshua and Deborah, God of Ruth and David, God of the priests and prophets, God of Mary and Joseph, God of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, God of Paul the Apostle and Chloe, a pastor at Corinth, God of our mothers and fathers, God of our children to all generations. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, when supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave the cup to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of the faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. By Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. As our Savior Christ has taught us, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If those who are assisting would come forward at this time. Because there is one loaf, we, though we are many, are one body, for we all partake the one loaf. The bread which we break, it is indeed a means of sharing. in the body of Christ. And the cup over which we give thanks, it is indeed a means of sharing in the outpoured blood of Christ.
Been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of Northgate United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2012 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at Northgate United Methodist Church, 3700 West Northgate Drive, Irving, Texas, 75062. This program was produced by Dr. Gregory Neal.